ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Big Tech.
In news out in the United States overnight, President Joe Biden has signed into law a bill that requires TikTok's Chinese owner to sell the social media app's US operations or face a ban after the Senate passed the legislation earlier this week. With Mr. Biden's signature on the dotted line, the nine-month countdown has started for popular app's owner ByteDance to divest the app before it's blocked from users in the United States. Lizzie O'Shea is the founder and chair of Digital Rights Watch and joins me now. Hi there, Lizzie.
Hi, Kath.
Now, no doubt this is a bit of a nightmare for TikTok. The US has the largest base of TikTok users globally. How has the social media company responded to this news, and do they have any appeal or avenue for an appeal?
Yeah, I feel a bit sad for TikTok's lawyers. I reckon they're working around the clock to figure out what they can do about this. There are a couple of different avenues that come to mind. There's a question around how this complies with the First Amendment, which protects freedom of speech. So there's that kind of broad brush idea that you couldn't force people to not be able to speak in this way, and whether the law is interfered with by that right, and those rights are protected. There's also a big question around what's actually likely to be sold. Is it user accounts? Is it the algorithm? Possibly not user data. I think probably the Chinese owner that sits behind it might seek to prevent that. And there is even discussion of the Chinese government preventing through export prohibitions on allowing this kind of sale to proceed. So there's a lot of complexity here, and it's not at all clear that it will eventually be bought by an American company or individual.
Yeah, interesting. If divestment does happen, though, who might those interested buyers be that are on the horizon? Or do you think this is going to lead to an outright ban?
Well, I mean, you have to have quite a bit of money in order to buy TikTok. You know, its current value is north of $100 billion. But again, sort of depends what we're talking about buying here. Lots of people have been talking about it. Big tech companies, there might be some antitrust issues there, but they would have the funds, as well as individuals putting together a coalition of people to buy it. So there's people who are kicking around talking about it, but there's a lot to be worked out before that can proceed. And, you know, 9 months is not actually that long a period of time to work this out before a potential ban kicks in. So it's unclear.
So how would a ban work?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of tools at the disposal of the government to do this, including things like geo-blocking. And we're seeing that in Australia, actually, in relation to other issues and X, of course. So there's those kinds of tools that are available. Preventing it being sold through the App Store is, of course, one mechanism as well, so people can't download it. So there's a few different tools, but I don't think that the Biden administration wants to get to that. It's just whether a deal can be struck with an American before that's required.
Okay, well, you mentioned X there. It's been a pretty big week on the social media news front, with this bickering or stoush continuing between Elon Musk and the Australian government over that push to censor footage of last week's Sydney church stabbing on the platform. Your organisation, Lizzie, works to ensure fairness, freedoms and fundamental rights for people who engage in the digital world. What is your observations over this stoush? I mean, does the government really have the grounds for the takedown actions that they're seeking?
It's interesting because, of course, the takedown request is quite narrow. It's not about commentary associated with the video or the incident. It's about the video itself. But it is also, on another level, very, very broad, because what the Safety Commissioner says is, well, Australians located here using a VPN can access this content. And so it must be a worldwide ban on publishing this content, which seems like a big overreach. And that was one of our concerns with the Online Safety Act, that it was very broad and it needs to be balanced against other considerations. So, you know, we're yet to see how this will unfold. The court's going to consider it again in a couple of weeks' time. So there's an interim order to prevent the publication of this content. But I think there are some quite meaty issues as to how we regulate online content and what kind of issues we take into consideration when working out what the government should and should not be able to do when it comes to moderating content.
Mm. Let's dig into privacy now. We heard this week from the ASIO Director General Mike Burgess, as well as the AFP Commissioner Rhys Kershaw, saying that there is no absolute right to privacy when it comes to social media and encrypted messaging services. What do you think about these comments?
Yeah, I think it's interesting how this kind of moment of crisis in online publication and issues of extremism and discussing this video in particular has given rise to these comments from law enforcement. Because on one level, I agree, there's no absolute right to privacy. Human rights law and practice requires that you balance rights against each other and that you also think about impositions on rights and whether they're necessary and proportionate. And so that's our method for understanding this issue. And we think you have to think very carefully about undermining something like encryption, which protects people from all sorts of nefarious actors and criminal behaviour online for all sorts of transactions and messaging, and to see whether it's really justified to allow law enforcement to break that for a specific purpose that they have in mind. So I think this is a debate that's not going away. It has been going on for a long time already, and I'm hoping that we can have a mature discussion that understands the human rights approach to this and not just accept that these kinds of requests from law enforcement will inevitably be acceded to in law.
Digital Rights Watch Chair Lizzie O'Shea is talking about the latest in big tech here on RN Drive. Lizzie, it is Anzac Day, and this is a tech-related Anzac story I want to bring up. Queensland State Library has launched an AI war veteran chatbot to commemorate the day this year. His name's Charlie. He was programmed to educate people about the First World War, mateship and life in the trenches. But it hasn't exactly gone to plan due to jailbreaking. Now, before we get into the chatbot itself, can you just explain what jailbreaking is?
I know, I groaned. Sorry, Kath, because I feel quite sad about this story. It was a chatbot, and jailbreaking, I mean, it's a loose kind of term, but the idea is you kind of talk to the chatbot in a way that gets it to do what was not intended by the people who created it. And you know, often there'll be an overlay of some kind of tech over the top of an underlying code base. And in this instance, I reckon what's happened is they've used a generalized chatbot and put a bit of extra code over the top to, you know, essentially make it one purposeful for Anzac Day using the records of the Queensland State Library. I totally understand the motivation, get people interested in the archives and the like. But what it means then is people can go in and make requests and get it to do things that weren't intended. Mm. And, you know, it's just sort of really sad examples of forcing Charlie to talk like, a ditzy blonde was one example, but also like his Doctor Who. And, you know, I sort of feel for the State Library. They're trying to do their outreach work, but sometimes I think you can overdo this stuff, and fancy tools like chatbots are more trouble than they're worth. And I wonder whether there's better ways to get some interest from the public in the archive in this topic.
Yeah, you just gave us two examples there. How did it go a little bit pear-shaped for them? As I said in the intro, he was there to educate people about the First War mateship and the trenches, etc. But what kind of responses has the bot been providing over the last 24 hours?
I mean, reasonably embarrassing ones, it's fair to say. And, you know, when you ask it to talk about Doctor Who, he talks about fighting Daleks and stuff and how, you know, he's taken over a universe or two. So, like, hugely embarrassing for the State Library. So, you know, I love libraries. I think they're fantastic. But I also think we should think carefully before deploying these kinds of tools and, you know, perhaps return to the basics of getting people engaged in libraries is a better place to start.
Some great ideas there. Lizzie O'Shea, founder and chair of Digital Rights Watch, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kath.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.